blog number 29, Headbanging, Lab Rat Status, and Justice. After Gail's passing, the headbanging ceased for a few years, but then for me, the headbanging began again, but this time on a global level, with overkill compulsory mask wearing, PCR testing that when manipulated just right can produce COVID diagnoses recorded as a great deal of false positives. This means we can be sure how unsure we are about the number of people who acquired COVID, and even less sure how many actually died because of the uber-liberal efforts to pass out COVID diagnoses as the main causes of death when it simply was not the case. Then there was the historically efficacious and inexpensive medications, for example, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and budesonide, and nutraceuticals that were classified by the powers that be, whoever that is, as either dangerous or ineffective. This helps to justify the emergency use authorization, which cannot be implemented if there are indeed effective modalities accessible by the public other than vaccines. Mainstream media embraced a narrative that won't allow the truth to be told to the lives who need to hear it the most. An experimental vaccine launched into the lives of millions that kills a conservative estimate of 30 people every day in America since the line started forming at indoor and outdoor clinics. Another 300,000 vaccine adverse events have been reported within the first 5 months, where the authorities, who could bring it to a stop, express a ho-hum response instead. Lotteries, cash incentives, prizes, food, lap dances, and college educations can be had if you just get the jab. Does a bribe make potential short-term and long-term side effects go away? And in some sectors, if you want to keep your job, getting vaccinated is mandatory, or at least understood as an unspoken expectation. And then there are the passive spiritual leaders of our land who stand idly by while their parishioners are told and sold all the false narratives, and who are then subjected to the relative dangers. Alleged lovers of truth have closed their churches and their minds. What I think of this in some cases rhymes with cowardice. In other cases, it rhymes with gullibility and lethargy, especially if church leaders have had plenty of opportunities to do their own independent research as well. With a love of the truth as the main value, lies, misinformation, and false narratives are still spoon-fed regularly to their parishioners without independent research and without responsible inquiry and commentary from the Christian leaders in the community. They may not be medical doctors, but that is not permission to embrace naivete. If the Bible has a prophetic dynamic to it, and I believe it does, then maybe they should have seen this coming. And if not, becoming like the sons of Issachar would be a ripe objective. They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. If getting to the bottom line is a slow process, at least give us an indication you are looking for it proactively, man of God. And there is plenty of data, statistics, professionals, experts, and authorities on which you can draw if you just will. Such erudition is not that hard to find, really, but you'll have to give it some effort, because something out there is going to great lengths to hide, cancel, and censor. The amount of censorship alone makes these modern times unprecedented and tyrannical, and should be one of the main motivations for Christian leaders to do their due diligence so they can make righteous stands. I hope to locate the Bonhoeffer types of this generation. Everything I've said so far was off the cuff from the body of knowledge I've collected in the process of research, and some obvious opinions, but it might just be a short list. I feel like I am late with my commentary, but I might have just as easily left this whole thing alone, which I fear most people have done. However, I'm not so far removed from the longing for justice and morality, especially when lives and quality of living issues are at stake, and especially since the present medical political aggregate creates this head-banging, head-wagging, speculative environment. It is not unreasonable to make it a matter of discussion and debate, though such debate is limited, and sometimes non-existent, thanks to the main media outlets, their censorship, and their tight-lipped truth avoidance. If the readers of this blog want to put all the facts on the table, they'll have to access the censored, the canceled, and the ignored doctors. The good news is that they number in the thousands. By doing so, the headbanging list I referenced earlier gets longer as the political tainting of medical information continues. Evidence of greed and elitism are suspicioned among medical industry corporations and leaders, including conflict of interest patent holders. Medically based national and international groups are beholden to the extremely wealthy, whose ideologies are in question. Demands made by presidents, governors, and mayors that they neither have the legal right to exercise nor the third-party independent knowledge base to justify. Thus, the headbanging intensifies. More and more, and like never before, hospitals are sadly the last place many of us want to find ourselves located, even and especially if we get sick with COVID, as we are no longer sure where the protocols find their source of knowledge. Have proven treatments and drugs been replaced with something much less effective? This is a very fair question in the present flip-flop big pharma finance manipulated environment. We are always impressed with valiant efforts by dedicated clinical professionals, but not impressed enough when proven medical strategies are strangely omitted by order of the powers that be. Your doctor may no longer be, in spirit and in practice, the same doctor you've had for years, because he or she is determining exactly how they plan to navigate the expected directives that come down from who knows where. It used to be their job was in jeopardy if they displayed evidence of malpractice. So any doctor worth his or her salt assured themselves and their patients that they are dedicated to the highest levels of responsibility and medical competency. Now some of their jobs are in jeopardy relative to how they handle the newfound expectations of their authorities, who are crossbred when the medical industry complex, political entities, and super wealthy ideologues are a trilogy of bedfellows. If you dare embrace a different narrative, it opens you to potential scorn and gaslighting. Based on your conformity or lack thereof, you are subject to labels to shame and embarrass you. The rules have changed significantly, and you better be happy about it. The incredible irresponsibility that exists in the medical ivory towers of how we should now live is an affront to liberty overall. Autonomous medical decisions are no longer honored as a personal right, even privately agreed upon with your own doctor. All of this increases the health risks that exist around non-researched medical misinformation, but which remains a popular narrative nonetheless among the masses, and not popular because it finds itself grounded in objective medical knowledge, tested over long periods of time, or even in some cases subjected to common sense. Independent research is dismissed in place of the sophistication of those with the strongest scientific-sounding story to tell, a narrative characterized not by healthy and reasonable debate, but by manipulations, censorships, and media talking heads who resonate with the expected storyline to keep dissenters at bay. This makes it much less than science and more like pseudoscience. It is much less an atmosphere of open discussion and investigation and more like do what you're told. A very large portion of the population is building their lives on what is only alleged and experimental, and it is served up to the masses with a simple appeal to follow the science. At face value, who dares argue with that? Unless it just ain't science. As if making such an announcement magically turns non-science into science. Dr. Fauci's recently released emails and statements to Congress are no longer evaluated for just inconsistency and hypocrisy, but for perjury and criminal intent. And in a recent interview, he exposed his hubris as he claims attacks on him are attacks on science itself. As is the case with lab rats who have never had a say in how they are treated, there is a growing indication that this new medical political Frankenstein is less and less interested in my and your commentary on this present-day experiment. But instead of doing independent research to verify scientific foundations, which should characterize all of us, there is instead a blind trust recipe we are asked to concoct and blend into our perceptions. Fear is the leaven that makes this pandemic batter rise beyond reason, as it has been added in great quantity, and easily finds consumers who are more than happy to cooperate with the paranoia, which they have conveniently interpreted as responsibility though again embarrassingly short on independent research and objective, clear, and critical thinking. Have I brought up common sense yet? A meringue is added as a topping, laced with the marketing fluff of politicians and celebrities in public service announcements on TV and social media, encouraging your full participation. You can almost hear them exclaim off camera how much of an idiot you are if you don't. By an immoral law that is in place since 1986, we cannot sue the originators of medical biologics, vaccine manufacturers, that have besieged the global landscape. So maybe death and injuries that result from the recommendations of celebrities should now make them the subject of lawsuits. It's a justice thing with me. Though memories linger, I am motivated less by the pain that kept my head throbbing through the years as I worked for the survival of my late wife. I have had some time to heal. I concern myself now with the responsibility, in these vital days, to just speak up because it is the right thing to do. As a matter of fact, I'm compelled to make it a matter of moral responsibility, drawing on the highest ethics. Anyone who dares rant like me can be labeled a conspiracy theorist, and that label serves labelers well, providing a convenience to discount me and others like me, but only in their own mind. It also provides permission not to do their own independent research, or limit their inquiry to those who already embrace the narrative without question. But the conspiracy theory card isn't working well for those who employ it, as more and more science and the accompanying statistics are exposing the truth. Online fact checkers are correcting their facts. Popular social media platforms are less popular. Literal millions are not getting the second shot. Many are finding success at home with simple, effective, and affordable prophylactic and treatment-based strategies. People are realizing that the major difference between relative risk, which publicly announced the vaccines as 67% to 95% effective, which sells vaccines, and the absolute risk, which was not publicly announced, has the effectiveness of 0.8% to 1.3%, which sells vaccine reluctance, must be taken into consideration. And just think of it. For those open to the idea, there's even a new focus on the genius of the innate immune system. Meanwhile, I have joined the vaccine control group.